Welcome to Hype, episode 47. Hype is Hypeable.com's podcast all about the latest entertainment news, opinions, and much more. This episode, we've got a very exciting unpopular opinions segment that I can't wait to get to, but we do have a lot of news to run through first. My name is Selena, and I am joined by Andrew and Merima today.
Hello, ladies.
Hey.
Hello, man.
Hello, ladies.
I get it.
Classy.
Kyle is
how
on
funny
show today.
We are.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
Passing it on. Gone. Okay, well, we have a lot of stuff to get through today, a lot of really interesting news stories. Before we get started, I just want to remind everyone about the different ways you can contact us to leave feedback about the show and about the news articles, the things we said, all that good stuff. First of all, we've got a Twitter account, at HypeableHype, all in one word, which is it's only a few weeks old, and we're still sort of really excited about it and not really using it that much
yet. It's a lot of hype in one username.
It is, right? It's double the hype, double the insert good word here.
Of the hype.
and then, of course, there's hypeable.com, which is hypable.com, where we have a post up for the latest podcast episode where you can put your more lengthy comments. We have one later in the show, which I think will spark a bit of interesting discussion. Before we get into the news, I want to ask you guys what you've been up to, how you've been hyping over the past week.
Well, I feel like I've spoken about this multiple times now on this show, but I'm actually finally reading Ready Player One.
Still reading Ready Player One. That's
so, yeah, I here's how I read. Okay. I lay in bed like 10 minutes before I want to go to sleep. I open up my Kindle. I read. And the Kindle's like, oh, 10 minutes in this chapter. I'm like, okay, I can do 10 minutes. And I read 10 minutes. And then that's it. I'm done. So I read like 10 minutes three times a week. So my reading goes very slow.
But anyway, I'm...
Hmm? This explains so much.
Yeah, it does. So I'm reading Ready Player One, and Selena recommended this book a few weeks ago, and I like it a lot. It's actually keeping my interest a lot, and I do see why on the back it said Harry Potter for adults.
I don't. I think that's so.
But
dumb.
I mean that with love.
Yeah, it's a good book though. We actually have a comment about that later in the show. One of our listeners is adding it to her book club because we've all been talking about it. So. Slowly but surely spreading the word. And everyone who listens to the show will love it because it's basically like us, like some extreme version of us with a photographic memory.
Yeah. I know
really
what
cool.
you mean. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, good. Well, I've been reading some different books lately. I've sort of, as listeners might know, once upon a time on Hypeable, we did... some web series articles, me and Merima primarily, because we like to promote sort of independent content. And I'm reading a couple of self-published books at the moment that I'm hopefully going to be reviewing for Hypeable soon. A book by one of my good friends from uni, actually, wrote a book. God damn it. I'm like, how did that happen? called Inkers, which I'm super excited to have a review up for, hopefully within the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
Self-publishing is scary.
It is.
Yeah, that's impressive. Doesn't that make you feel really bad about yourself
when
someone like
it really
your
does?
Age... Yeah, I have a few author friends who are like maybe a year or so older than me, and they're like, "Oh, just like working on edits for my second book." I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay."
Oh, no. It's like, you know, they write. He wrote to me, and he was like, "Oh, I've got this book. Do you want to review it?" And I had a moment by the computer where I like took a deep breath, and I was like, "How exciting for you!" I just had to psych myself up for it.
I mean, would you review it honestly?
Yeah. I can do that. It's not that good a friend.
Oh, okay. Like, if you and Merima came to me...
Yeah.
If you and Merima came to me asking me to review your book, I would be like, A, it's going to take me forever to read it. B, I can't review this honestly.
Oh, but then something good.
Aww.
I mean, I guess I could really like it and then I could review it honestly, but what if I don't like it? Too much pressure.
Just say you didn't read it.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that problem because the girls on Book Hype, there are a lot of aspiring authors on Hypeable. And they often say to me, like, when I write something, I'll get you to read it because you'll give me your honest opinion and you'll be really mean. I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I guess I like ripping people's dreams to shreds.
You know, you should put that on your CV.
Yeah, I should put on a business card or something. Maybe in my Twitter bio.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Have you been reading? Oh, ooh. I see something in the dark that's making me excited.
Yeah, well, I haven't read a whole lot lately, but I did see Pitch Perfect 2 on the weekend. Wow. So living my dream and crushing everyone else's. You don't get to see it for a really long time. It was really, really fun. I only realized afterward that, like, no spoilers. I only realized afterward it's very similar to the first one in a lot of ways, not in story, but like in kind of the themes they're dealing with, which I didn't realize while I was watching it. But yeah, it's really fun. They have a lot of really good song choices in it that I think people will enjoy, and some good new cast members. And it's got that same like weird kind of gross, wacky humor. So yeah. And Elizabeth Banks directed this one.
Oh, so yeah, that's really cool. Do you think she did a good job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did a fantastic job. I think visually it was like really, really, really beautiful. And they nailed all the characters and everything. So,
Is there like new cups? Like, is there an original song?
Yeah.
I know there's the Jessie J one, but do they perform that, the cast?
Yeah, or? The Jessie J song is kind of a plot point, I guess, in the movie without spoiling it. Like, Yeah, it's an original song like for the universe. They're not like, let's sing this Jessie J song. So yeah, I think that will be kind of that is what they're trying to make the standout song, I suppose. But yeah, there are some good moments. Like Rebel Wilson has a great scene in it that I don't want to ruin for anyone. Actually, has a million great scenes, but she has a song this time. So that's fun.
Oh, fun. When is it coming out?
May 15th in the United States.
Yeah, so it's only like a week or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. Woo! I am excited. So many movies. God damn
it. I think I'm going to see it again, like when it comes out here.
Oh, that's one with a lot of.
The original had a lot of replay value.
Yeah, I own the DVD of that. I still watch it all the time.
Yeah, I at one point purchased, they had a Pitch Perfect cup set. It came with Pitch Perfect on DVD. A cup, like the one Anna Kendrick uses, I guess, in the movie, and then, like, pencils. It's for, like, 14-year-old high schoolers. Oh, wow. But, like, oh, this is cool. Yeah.
Do you still have the cup?
Yeah.
Is it just a plastic cup?
Well, I think so. I don't know. I bought it as a gift for my boyfriend, actually. Okay. And
I think I've seen that. I think I saw that cup at your house.
Maybe. Wow. I've been packing tonight. I haven't seen it.
You'll find it. You'll find it.
Wow. That's exciting, though. I'm excited to see it. Okay, so heading on into news now, we've got some super exciting stories. We're each going to do four each because there's only three of us this week, and there's been a lot of big news stories. I noticed over the past few weeks, when there's less hosts, we do tend to cut out the sort of more fun, smaller stories because there's a lot of, especially superhero stories, it's just a lot we just can't skip. But hopefully when that dies down a little bit, we'll be able to get back to some of the more...
It'll never die down.
Different, I know. Being so, you know, in 2025.
Yeah.
When we're still doing this.
So I guess the biggest story this week came out on Tuesday. Marvel, for once, Marvel got to make an announcement without an entertainment website breaking the news themselves. Martin Freeman has joined Captain America: Civil War. This was really exciting to me because, you know, everybody loves Martin Freeman right now. He's in Sherlock. He was in The Hobbit. And now he's joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe, not to mention Benedict Cumberbatch, who, of course, plays Sherlock. He's already in the MCU playing Doctor Strange next year. So the issue right now is that we don't know who Martin Freeman is playing. So
did you see that tweet about maybe he's Spider-Man? I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that was funny. No, he's definitely not Spider-Man. That would be funny.
It would be so good though.
Middle-aged Spider-Man. Yeah. I would actually see that movie.
Me too.
So it remains to be seen if he's going to have a big role. But I speculated in the article that if they're casting him, he has to play an important part.
Well, it could be like an Andy Serkis kind of thing.
That's true. But Andy Serkis is going to show up again later, I believe.
Yeah, in another movie. Yeah.
Right.
In Black Panther.
So maybe okay, so maybe Martin Freeman will do the same thing, be introduced in Civil War. And but, you know, I saw somebody mention this. The Captain America Civil War cast is getting really big.
Yeah, it's too big.
And wasn't this a problem with Ultron?
Yes, and it's also, it's a bigger problem with this because it's meant to be a solo film. Like, you can kind of get away with it in an ensemble movie, although Ultron, the cast was too big, like, regardless. But how is this in any sense a Captain America movie anymore? They basically have the entire Avengers cast in it, and then they keep adding in new people. Like, as you say, I think they do want to introduce new
Black
characters
Panther.
that can like link through to the next films, because Captain America is a really big franchise for them at the moment, and people are going to go and see it. And they want to link it through to the newer characters people maybe won't be as familiar with, which makes sense, but it means that there's less focus on Captain America, so it's not really a Captain America film anymore, which I think is what the big issue with this is.
Yeah, and you know the other issue I sort of have with this is that I always sort of, whenever there's these big name castings for these big ensemble films, it's always a little bit of like, okay, so we'll be watching the movie, and then this Martin Freeman will show up and we'll be like, Martin Freeman, you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of actually,
it takes you out of it.
It does a little bit. And I was thinking about actually The Hobbit, funnily enough, where they have all these small cameos here and there, and you can't help but just be like, oh, it's that actor, you know?
Did you feel that way with Andy Serkis in Ultron?
Well, yes, I did a little bit, but maybe that was just because I was looking for him. You know,
maybe.
So I was like, and I couldn't, it was a little bit hard to tell at first. So I was like focusing on it, but it wasn't too bad because he was so isolated. You know what I mean? But I did feel that way about some of the other cameos, like, Stellan Skarsgård when he appeared, it was like, oh yeah, there he is.
And then just for the record, I don't think we mentioned him explicitly. Spider-Man's going to be in Civil War too. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be pretty nuts.
Maybe he's Uncle Owen. Said, oh, huge. Uncle Ben. Whatever the uncle is.
Oh, no.
And he'll die. Oh, yeah. So, speaking of... I was going to be totally... Just preface here. I'm going to spoil Avengers now. So...
I see the transition.
Speaking of death, I hope everyone who's listening to this has seen Avengers and listened to our hype special plug. So Joss Whedon has given a couple of different interviews about some of the last minute changes to Avengers, or I guess I should say like changes as the movie has been in development and has been in editing and all of that. And one of the biggest changes was an alternative ending in which, again, spoiler alert, Quicksilver doesn't die. So we spoke a little bit about this on the Hype special, actually, how Quicksilver, who was played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Jimmy speculated that he actually died because he's a prominent figure in X-Men. And that was when I realized the two universes were, you know, the same property. And it was like, whoa, mind blowing. So that's maybe why they killed him off. But apparently there was at one point talk about keeping him alive, and he was going to land in the end scene with the new Avengers next to the Scarlet Witch. And then they just decided to kill him anyway, because, you know, and he kind of compared it a little bit to Agent Coulson, who they revived. And he felt like it took the truth out of the death scene that they just ended up bringing him back. What did you think, Myrma? Did you like that he died? Would you have liked to see him?
I was happy. I mean, not happy, but like I liked the scene with him dying. I think when you have a big ensemble film like this, the danger is that no characters really face any big loss, you know, because they need them for the next film. That said, the fact that it was Quicksilver that they chose to kill, I think, is interesting, because it could have been because, you know, part of the deal was that they were only allowed to use him for one film or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Quicksilver is also, he's a mutant in the Marvel comics, which they're not allowed to call him, obviously, in the MCU, because, you know, Fox has the rights. But he also has regenerative powers. So, like, of all the characters to kill, he's the one who feasibly could have recovered from that. Mm-hmm. And also, as you mentioned, Marvel has a proven history of bringing characters back from the dead. So whether or not Joss Whedon decided, obviously, it seems he decided in the end to keep him dead. I don't know if that means he's necessarily going to stay dead going forward with the MCU. And it seems like there were at least some conversations along those lines as well, maybe with, you know, other people involved in the franchise.
Oh, Andrew, have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah, yeah. And I like that he died because I thought there somebody has to die, one of these Avengers. I mean, come on, there's so many and they're
all Avengers.
Evil people. Yeah.
Yeah.
There has to be some consequences. So.
Yeah, in that final battle, it was sort of I try not to know too much about what characters are going to go on because I don't want to be spoiled. So I was thinking it has to be either Quicksilver or Hulk or Hawkeye, I was thinking, because they were like the three sort of, they all had those stories, you know, that would lead up to that. And so I'm glad in a way it was him, because I feel like he was more of a second player to Scarlet Witch. Like, he always felt like he was there for her benefit, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But he was a great character on his own, you know, so I was sad to see him go, but I agree. Someone had to die, and it's good that it sticks this time. I agree with Joss on that.
Yeah. Well, it sticks for this movie anyway.
Like, now he's
not
gone.
Making the next ones. Well, that's what I mean. He's done now, so if they want to bring him back, they could.
Yeah, this is why the continuity.
Was it his decision to kill him, to kill Quicksilver, or was it
sounds from
Marvel's?
The interview like it was his decision. But there have been some other interview snippets that have come out where he's talked about the collaboration with Marvel and how, you know, he wanted things and they wanted things. And then in the end, they had to compromise and get like a third thing.
Yeah.
Movie making is tough.
And this is extra complicated because of the X-Men movies as well. So it's hard to know like exactly what is part of that deal. Same as Marvel and Sony with Spider-Man now. It's all very complicated because they own various. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Following on from that, another little, I think this is a fun kind of story. You said we missed out on some. I think this is a fun one.
Yeah, I like this.
So more Age of Ultron news. SNL did another one of their fantastic parody trailers. We've all been asking for it. And now, thanks to Saturday Night Live, we have a Black Widow movie, or at least a trailer for it. It was called Black Widow Age of Me. It stars Scarlett Johansson. And Black Widow goes to work at like a fashion magazine and falls in love with Ultron and all the Avengers and her just like hanging out and bonding. And, you know, it's...
Thor is super sassy.
Yeah. It was really funny. And at the same time, it was quite on the mark in terms of what happened to Black Widow in Age of Ultron. People might disagree with that.
It was
very
mark
well
in terms
timed.
In terms of like women in these types of film in general, like I love that when SNL does these kind of statements that aren't statements, but you know, you look at this like a parody thing and you're like, yeah, you know what? That's not far off.
Yeah.
It makes you think, I think.
Yeah. And it came at a perfect time too with this whole Black Widow debate that's been going on the past couple of days. So it was right on the money with that. And I really also like the live action Bambi trailer that they did.
God, yeah.
So this was on par that, but I think I prefer the Bambi one a little bit more. But yeah, this was really good.
Was so funny. I thought it was so good that they did something like this, because it's kind of like they can say the things that we try to say in our lengthy articles, but they just do it with humor, and that sometimes works a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that she did it as well. That's a good sense of humor on her part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the perfect opportunity. I mean, if she didn't do it, it wouldn't have had the same impact, I don't think.
Yeah.
Some Star Wars news. If you follow the Star Wars fandom, you know that Star Wars Celebration happened a few weeks ago. It's basically a big Star Wars convention for the hardcore fans, and that's where they debuted the most recent Force Awakens trailer. And that same weekend, they had a panel that was supposed to be with the anthology film directors Josh Trank and Rogue One director Gareth Edwards. He's directing the first anthology film, which comes out next year. So Josh Trank was supposed to be there. He directed, what's that film? I'm forgetting it at the moment. He was supposed to be there, and then at the last minute, he pulled out, and his name was still on all the signage and everything, and it was really weird. And then he sent out a tweet saying, "Oh, I'm really sick. Sorry, guys." He said, "Worst flu of my life."
Oh.
Of course, immediately, everybody started speculating. Why is he missing? Why do the posters and stuff still have his name? This is really strange. Well, people speculated there may have been trouble brewing, and sure enough, that's what happened. On May 1st, we found out that he is leaving Star Wars, the second anthology film, which was supposed to come out in 2018. He issued a statement, and so did Lucasfilm, and it sounds all nice and everything, but there were these reports that came out from The Hollywood Reporter, amongst other sites, that said, rumors have I'm quoting The Hollywood Reporter, "Rumors have persisted that Fox is unhappy with Trank's performance on Fantastic Four, and that Simon Kinberg, who is producing both that film and the second Star Wars spinoff, was getting cold feet about working with Trank again." So,
wow.
Didn't work out. Yeah, a little drama there. I like that drama.
Yeah, he was so excited.
Yeah.
A little inside baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, I couldn't recall what he had directed. It was the film Chronicle in 2012. Mm. That kind of like
Loved that movie.
Caught on camera. Yeah, it was good.
And then
he's also directing this summer's Fantastic Four. So.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah.
But we don't know how good or bad that is yet.
Mm. No, I think he wrote it as well.
Wow.
And the other part about that Star Wars Celebration event is that apparently Disney asked Josh to not attend.
Oh no. Well, that would have been super awkward if he just gotten fired and he was like, "Hey guys."
Right, but I mean he has to go on Twitter and claim worst flu of my life. That's what he said.
Please don't attend, and also make a really awkward tweet about why you won't be there. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I once had to back out of something. Sorry, random aside. I was 14, and I didn't want to go to a sleepover. And so my friend called. She was like, "Why are you not coming to my sleepover?" And I was like, because the roof fell down. And then, like, nice. She was coming to see me the next day, and my mom was like, "You do realize that she's going to see the roof." So I feel for Josh Trank. I wouldn't have come
up with
something
better. You
got
a good one that nobody can prove.
Yes. Yeah.
So even though he's not directing, we found out the next day, because I guess everybody was talking about it, so Hollywood started snooping around, that the second film is going to follow Boba Fett.
Yeah. Do you know what that is, Andrew?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be all about Boba Fett. I think that's great.
Your favorite character?
Not my favorite character. BB-8 is my favorite character.
Of course. Yeah. No, but this is exciting, though. This is, I think people are sort of both really afraid and really, really optimistic about this, because Boba Fett is such a cult character, you know?
Yeah. When the rumors about these anthology films, that's what their Lucasfilm is calling them officially, these we previously called them spin-offs. We had heard that the spin-offs would each focus on one character, Boba Fett, Yoda, and Han Solo. Obviously, the first one doesn't focus on a particular character, which is good, because we were hearing those rumors about these character-driven spin-offs for so long, or like these, you know, kind of like a solo Marvel movie,
Han
kind of
Solo.
In the same vein. Right, exactly. So it's kind of refreshing that the first one isn't going to be one of these character focused ones, but it looks like the second one will be. So they got to do the Yoda one, right? I mean, that's what everybody wants.
Everyone wants this one.
Yeah, everyone
wants
this.
Okay.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, the Wookiee reprise. That, you know, they'll do another Christmas special, and everyone will lose their minds. No, but this is cool. And speaking of amazing Star Wars news, unless you want to add something about Boba Fett, Merima?
No, I think we covered it.
Cool. Well, okay, then let's move on to something that I'm sure she's going to get her own anthology movie down the line, I have a feeling. Vanity Fair has released an In Honor of May the 4th, May the 4th be with you. And today's May 6th, so what is that? May the Sith be with you?
Revenge of the... Yeah, may the revenge of the Sith. May
the Sith revenge you? There you go. But we've got some new amazing new stills from The Force Awakens via Vanity Fair. There's some different really revealing character pictures. There's one of Adam Driver, who has been revealed to be the new villain Kylo Ren, who is the one with the 3-point lightsaber in the trailer. We've got Nipita Leongo, who is playing a pirate named Maz Kanata, who is a CGI character, so she's all in CGI gear. We've got Oscar Isaac, who is standing with his X-Wing. He's a Resistance pilot, and I thought he looked a lot like Luke Skywalker. Apparently, people don't agree with me on that. And then finally, we have Game of Thrones actress Gwendolyn Christie, who is Captain Phasma, and she's phasmaning badass. Phasming badass? Yeah, it's such a cool name, and her costume is awesome. Like, half stormtrooper, half robot. I don't even know. Did you guys see these?
It is. The pictures are beautiful. What's really cool is that Annie Leibovitz, she's a world-renowned photographer. She's done amazing photo shoots for not just pop culture, but just everything in life.
She did some Star Wars for the first three as well.
Oh, did she?
Mm.
Oh. So, so to have her back to do this is just really cool, and obviously she did a remarkable job. And what was also cool was the timing of it being on May the 4th, and the piece dropped a lot of big news, like you said, about Adam Driver's character and Gwendolyn Christie's.
Mm.
So it was just a big feature.
Yeah, it was.
They look so good.
They do look really good, and I'm like, oh, I'm so afraid of getting my hopes up for this one, but my hopes are way up. I can't get them down now.
Yeah, I feel like I need to out myself a little bit, because I'm like not the world's biggest Star Wars fan, and it's not that I don't like Star Wars, it's just that I've never been like a huge movie person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, regardless of your sort of level of interest in Star Wars, like, these are going to be beautifully shot films.
Yeah.
And everything that we've seen from them just looks, like, absolutely stunning. So definitely worth people checking out, whether or not they were sort of, you know, huge fans or not. But, and Lupita Nyong'o looks amazing even in a CGI outfit.
Yes.
I feel like it's going to be a perfect promotional campaign. Like, the teaser trailer was perfect. The second trailer was perfect. This Vanity Fair feature is perfect.
Yeah.
At one point, are they going to release something that doesn't look good?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, they've had enough time to think about it.
And they're doing such a good job of, like, blending in the new with the old. Like, that's what I'm most impressed with, is that then you have this Vanity Fair cover where it's John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, who are both new players, with Han Solo and Chewbacca. So you've got, it's not just sort of, oh, they're playing the nostalgia factor and, oh, we don't know who these people are. The blending of the two is what really makes it, you're so excited to see this, you know?
Yeah. Usually with a movie, as you build up to its release, occasionally there's a misstep, like Jurassic World, the first clip they released, it was really crap. Everybody hated it. Sometimes things just get released that people suddenly second guess the film, and then sometimes it just snowballs from there.
I don't think they should release clips at all. I think
that would be really cool, but they're going to, right? Mm. They have to.
Yeah, they're going to. Hopefully less than they usually do for like these kinds of things.
Yeah, maybe it'll be more of those little teaser, sort of maybe character-centric little teasers. They'll have a website, you know, you'll be able to do some interactive stuff. It'll be great. I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I sort of tried to, because I got into it via the prequel trilogy, because that was like when I was 12 or whatever they came out. And I was like, oh my God, you know, Anakin, whatever. So ever since then, I've tried to make up for that, because now that's so embarrassing. So now, like, Boba Fett. I know, right?
Yeah. How embarrassing.
It was so, and Attack of the Clones was my favorite movie. I thought the love story was amazing. Oh my God, you guys. To my defense, I didn't speak English that well at that time, so I couldn't tell that the acting was so crap. Yeah, anyway, making up for that now. I'm excited. To sum up, I'm excited.
All right. Well, moving on to things that make people less excited, I guess. We had some other pictures that didn't work out quite as well for a different movie. And we had the first full cast photo of the Suicide Squad, minus the Joker. We had seen that. I think you guys might have talked about it last week. We saw that picture. But now, yeah, we've got the full cast all together. And people are not happy. I see people saying they look like they
people
were dressed at Hot Topic.
Mad.
That this shouldn't be the final costume choice, and that this looks worse and worse every time they release something. So, yeah, you guys, I'm assuming, are not, like, super familiar with the Suicide Squad, so I'm curious as to what you think of this.
I really like how the Joker looks, for starters.
Oh, God.
Andrew, already here.
It's different. I just think it's fun. I mean, isn't the purpose of this film to be fun?
Yes. Well, yeah. The Suicide Squad, yeah, generally. But it's hard to know what they're trying to do with this film, honestly.
You know what? I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you do remember, but you, when I look at these pictures, when I see everything for this movie, I get a really strong Watchmen vibe.
It's really reminding me of that.
And I was thinking, because we talked last week about how it might be a little bit more like comic, embracing the comic book sort of, also a little bit Kick-Ass, you know what I mean? Like, not as much, but you know, that little bit like really violent mixed with really sort of inappropriate humor, if you will, and real darkness, but and a real sort of comic book vibe. Like, that's really, really what I'm getting from this. And I think when I saw this picture, I mean, yeah, when people say Hot Topic, I see what they mean, but I just see comic book characters brought to life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if that angle is useful in any way, but I have a feeling that's the kind of movie we're looking at.
Yeah, I think people are definitely assuming it's going to be something like that, but it's just super hard to know with this in particular. There are so many directions that they could take this. And the fact that they are making the Joker so prominent in the promotional material, I think, has people worried as well. Because, like, the Joker shouldn't really be part of the Suicide Squad. So,
okay, then. That's a problem.
That's a small problem. I kind of agree with the people who are not totally sold on the looks. But then again, it's really hard to judge. Sometimes these kinds of costumes really need movement, you know, like they need to be in a scene, they need to be moving. It's hard to judge from like a static still, you know. Yeah. The Avengers look ridiculous if you just see a photo of them.
Yeah,
so,
or like, remember Voldemort's costume whenever there were those pictures and it was all green or whatever.
Yeah, you kind of need to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, I think. But yeah, the response has probably not been what they were hoping for.
No, it's such a shame. People at the moment, like, people are so negative. Like, I don't know if it's always been like this. We're only just noticing now, but something comes out and they're like, oh, that sucks. Oh, that's not what I wanted. So yeah, I think if this is anything like Watchmen, I'll enjoy it because I liked Watchmen. So
yeah, me too.
Speaking of something I don't enjoy,
what's that? Oh yeah, it's my turn again. Sorry, I'm really bad at this.
No, it's fine.
So Allegiant is getting ready to begin filming, and we now know who is going to play the lead villain. Now, this was news to me. This is actually a good educational lesson for me, because I think I've told this story before. I was spoiled about the Allegiant ending before the book came out, and then I was just like, well, now that I know the big thing, why bother reading it? So I didn't, and then I tried again, and I couldn't. Anyway, it turns out there's this villain in Allegiant named David, and this character is going to be played by Jeff Daniels, best known as the star of The Newsroom and also the Dumb and Dumber movies. So he is going to play the leader of the Bureau of Genetic Welfare, which Triss visits in Allegiant. And I guess I won't spoil it, but he's very hated by everybody by the end of the book.
Oh, everyone knows. Like, that book came out so long ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, what do you want me to say? He had a thing for Triss's mom. Yeah. This was all news to me, that he had a thing for Triss's mom, and he hatched a plan to erase the memories of everyone in Chicago. He was just a bad guy, so he's going to be the villain.
Yeah, I think cool. It's good casting, though. Although I did have to do a little refresher to remind myself who he was, because Allegiant did not stick in my memory.
Oh, I thought you meant Jeff Daniels.
No. Please, I love the newsroom. No, I think he's going to be really good, because he kind of has that, I think he can do the intimidating thing quite well, but then also he can be, like, he and Triss get on at the start, sort of.
Yeah.
So he can sort of do that, playing both sides of it, I think. I think so. Yeah.
And then we also found out that Bill Skarsgård, yes, he is related to Alexander Skarsgård, from True Blood. Bill Skarsgård
and Stellan Skarsgård, right?
Yeah, that's who I think of. Who's Alexander Skarsgård?
So many Skarsgårds. Oh my god.
He's
they're
like the new Skarsgård's son. I had to look it up because it was bothering me.
Okay. That's so the whole family, bunch of actors. Bill Skarsgård is on the Netflix show Hemlock Grove, and we found out that he is going to play somebody associated with David, Jeff Daniels' character. And it could be Matthew. Mm-hmm. And this character, Matthew, also works in the Bureau of Genetic Welfare, and he ends up helping Triss when she needs to stop the Bureau from using the memory serum. So, I guess it's a good casting. It's not like a big role or anything, but they're heating up the production.
Mm.
Interestingly, and I don't get this still, they're filming Allegiant Part 1 and Part 2 separately. They're not filming them back-to-back, as has been done for Harry Potter, Hunger Games, and Twilight, when they split their final book into two. So, and the reason that they did that was to save money. If they're filming it all in one go, it saves money. But now with Allegiant, they're doing it separate for God knows why. And
might be a scheduling thing for What's-Her-Face.
I guess, Shailene.
Yeah,
Shailene.
And then... but we don't even know if Robert Chwentek is directing part two. Lionsgate only says he's directing part one. So are they going to have two directors to direct two different parts? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that seems weird, but they do seem so insistent about not saying he'll do the second one. Like, people keep asking them, and they're like, nope.
I think they
just
have
the first
no
one.
Idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying they're not ready to announce. So he might do the second, but...
But it's weird that they wouldn't announce it if he was, you know? Like, I think that would give fans more confidence if they knew that there was one director seeing through the entire finale.
For sure.
This just makes people nervous.
It makes me think that they're reconsidering splitting it. But if they're...
Yeah.
But I think we would have heard by now if they decided to backtrack, because they got to do a script. They got to have the script done.
Yeah.
So that's that.
I don't know.
That's Allegiant.
All right, let's talk about something exciting. That's my transition, and I'm sticking to it. We keep talking about this. Let's talk about a movie that we can't see for like two more years. It's really great.
Well, we always do that.
Yeah, true. But I feel like we've talked so much about Beauty and the Beast lately, mm-hmm. and I keep forgetting that it's not until 2017. I have 2016 in my head for some reason. Josh Gad did an interview. He is playing LeFou, which I think was the casting announcement that made everyone realize that this adaptation is going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He did an interview about the table read that they did, which Ian McKellen described beautifully. I think we talked about that a little while ago. Oh, just tear up thinking about perfect Ian McKellen's perfect writing. And he was talking about, I guess, comparing this to what happened with what they did with Cinderella. So I think the most exciting thing that he said was that this one is really utilizing the music, which is obviously a huge component to Beauty and the Beast, more so than Cinderella, and that's one of the main reasons that he signed on for it, which totally makes sense because, you know, he's a singer kind of first and foremost. Does this just make you guys more excited for Beauty and the Beast? Why am I so excited for this? I don't even like the movie, like the animated movie. It's okay. I don't love it. but this cast is so good.
It's just the cast, and it's the, yeah, I for me, it's really the Emma Watson factor. Like, I don't know, I'm such a fangirl for her. Like, it's so
Emma,
dumb.
For me, it's the Emma Thompson factor.
All right, it's the Emma factor in general.
Yeah,
but you know, it's, we had Emma Watson, then we have Emma Thompson, then we have, like, freaking Ian McKellen. Like, we just have all these amazing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely has to do with the cast first and foremost, and the fact that this is a film that's beloved and people feel like they can trust Disney to do this right. And it's also the fact that this is going to be a musical. I think everybody's really excited to see all these great stars sing.
That's true. Yeah.
And what else? Yeah. I mean,
and it just feels like a spectacle.
And they did a great job with Cinderella. Everybody loved that movie. Phil Condon's a great choice to direct. I think this is just the perfect package.
I think so. And they've got Stephen Chbosky writing the screenplay. I mean, it's just, there's no weak links, are there?
No. Perfect movie.
It's so rare that we have a movie that, like, we're genuinely excited about every aspect. But let's ruin it now, because we had a comment on our last episode from Melissa, who was asking, I guess, you know, when you rewatch the animated movie, you start to realize, oh, maybe this isn't as romantic as I thought it was, because, like, Belle has Stockholm Syndrome, and, you know, this maybe is a little sexist, and et cetera, et cetera. And so she was wondering, do we think they're going to change it to kind of update it for a modern audience, or do we think they're going to stick to, you know, what happened in the original? Especially because Emma Watson, obviously, is like this big feminist spokesperson. So it would be an interesting choice for her if they didn't do anything to change it.
I mean, it's such a loaded topic, and it's such an interesting topic to discuss, I think. And in a way, you know, I feel like we should put a lot more time aside for it, because it is such a big topic. But, I mean, we're both feminists. I don't know what you think about Beauty and the Beast. For me, I think you can definitely see why it's problematic. At the same time, I think it doesn't take very much to tweak her, like to tweak Belle to become this, like, taking her destiny into her own hands kind of character. I mean, let's face it, this is, as with every fairy tale, we've got the handsome prince, we've got the, to some extent, damsel. It is kind of the model. And I think, you know, we can look at Beauty and the Beast and think this is all well and good, but if she hadn't fallen in love with him, or if she hadn't been like attractive to him or whatever, it would have been a very different story. But then have been a story at all, because, you know, it was trying to fit the needs of a completely different generation. Back when it was La Belle and la Bête, La Belle et la Bête, back in 1920 or whenever it was first made into a movie. So, I mean, I guess that didn't really say that much, other than I don't think, I mean, it's not going to be like Snow White and the Huntsman, which, I mean, it tried to do some things, it didn't do them very well. But I think it's I mean, they're going to give her a bit more sass. They're going to make her, like, push some enemies around, you know, before Beast comes in and saves her. And she's going to, you know, be all, yeah, like, sass mouth. And people are going to be like, she's such a modern heroine. And everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to give her more agency than she has in the original. And I think they kind of did a little bit of that with Cinderella. And, you know, whether you liked Cinderella or not, the character was definitely an improvement from the original animated film in terms of, like, her relationship with the prince in particular. So I would agree with you, Selena. I don't think you need to make, like, huge plot changes to develop the character so that it's, I guess, more palatable for a modern audience, or, you know, like, a more responsible portrayal of a female character.
I mean, there's a very easy mold of modern female action hero girl who, like, is smart and is strong, but she still needs, you know, it's a bit of a stereotype at this point, you know, she's.
Yeah, but that's why I think this is interesting, because Belle isn't really, like, that kind of fighting character that we see, you know, the quote-unquote strong female character with capital letters.
No, I mean,
so
yeah.
That's why this could be really interesting if they stick to her
The pen is stronger than the sword, she'll say.
Yeah, well, you know, keep her to, like, the sort of intelligent, like, Hermione. That's her strength, her intelligence. Yeah, exactly. She's Hermione.
She's just going to be Hermione. That's our answer.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I'm sure that, like, it was probably part of Emma Watson, because, you know, she's like this spokesperson now. That's kind of part of her image. So she would be crazy if she hadn't thought that through before she accepted the role. So I'm sure it will be fine. But good question. Yes. It's something worth talking about for sure.
Definitely.
So on Tuesday, we found out that Lucasfilm for sure wants to do an Indiana Jones movie, another one. We don't know if it's going to star Harrison Ford. We don't know if they're going to bring Chris Pratt in, which that rumor suggested they would a few months ago. But Kathleen Kennedy said to Vanity Fair in that Star Wars feature, it will, quote, one day be made inside this company. When it will happen, I'm not quite sure. We haven't started working on a script yet, but we are talking about it. So it's going to happen, but when? It didn't seem like
many
people
were... It's
going to
be Chris Pratt.
I hope it's going to be Chris Pratt.
It's totally.
I think that's
be
the
Chris
only
Pratt.
Way people could actually get excited about this.
I agree.
Because I thought people were going to have a stronger reaction to this, and they didn't.
Yeah.
So I think people are kind of just
fun.
Bored.
The Chris Pratt sort of factor, isn't it? Like Adams is something, and it's like, whoa.
But isn't the problem that he's already tied up? I read
so
this
many
in my
projects.
Article.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Guardians of the Galaxy. I assume Jurassic World is not going to be just one movie. They'll probably want to do multiple films.
Right.
So, yeah,
and
he's got a number
tied
of,
into that.
Of other projects going on. He's doing The Real McCoy and some other action movie. He's doing not the Fantastic Seven or whatever, but some kind of
Magnificent Seven?
No, it's some kind of remake of a Western.
The Magnificent Seven.
The Magnificent
no,
Seven.
That's Adam
a Western.
No, I just looked it up. It says,
okay.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What is Adam Sandler's? Oh, that's the Ridiculous
Adam
Six.
Adam
Sandler's
is like a... Adam Sandler's is a parody of
Yeah,
the
so it's not the Ridiculous Six. It's the remake of the one that the Ridiculous Six is parodying, which is the Magnificent Seven. There you go.
Good job. You got it.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm a little bit numbers dyslexic, so six or seven or eight or whatever. I who cares?
It's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that people want Chris Pratt is just because he's like the go-to action guy
he
at
is,
the moment.
He really is.
And
he's so
surely
universal.
He must be sick of that. Like, he must be getting sick of that, doing this, because all of the projects are the same.
Well,
I mean,
either
I love
that
Chris Pratt.
Or he just has a hell of a time doing it. Like, he's just had
That's
so
true.
Much fun. Because, you know, like looking at, not that we need to psychoanalyze Chris Pratt, but, I mean... He came from nothing to starring on Parks, and then he went on to be this huge action star, and he gets to like be in space and be in the Wild West and all of this. Like, I think it's a dream come true, honestly.
Actually, I've seen him do interviews where he said like when he was younger he really wanted to be a stuntman. Like, he didn't want to be an actor, he just wanted to be a stuntman. So he's probably loving it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
But my point is that I'm sure there are other people who could be in Indiana Jones. It's
no,
just that
Merriman,
when we
come on, this
is
just him, just the one. Come on.
I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch or Chris Pratt is what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be one of the two.
Wow, Benedict Cumberbatch is Indiana Jones. I would be
That's
there.
That's the worst casting.
That would
I've
be
ever
amazingly,
heard in my life.
Amazingly bad. All right, we got some TV news now, and then a bit of a bigger story at the end. First of all, Revenge was canceled finally by ABC. I wanted to bring it up. I don't know if you guys have ever watched it. I actually used to be a fan of Revenge back in season 1 and 2, and it was so good and it was so scandalous. And then it got really, in my opinion, pardon me, Revenge fans, it got really dumb. It started just recycling stuff and killing off characters left and right for shock value and all those typical things that destroy a TV show. So now season 4 is going to be its last. On Sunday is the series finale, so fans haven't had that much time to get used to the idea. I'm going to watch the season finale, series finale, just because I used to be a fan.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But you don't seem too sad about it.
I'm not. I mean, as I said, I completely stopped watching it. I tuned off because it got stupid. But I watched for long enough that I want to see how it ends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Every revenge fan that I know is genuinely happy that it's being canceled. Yeah. That seems to be the common response.
Mm-hmm. So it's just time.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
It's just time. It is just the perfect time. And who knows? Maybe, I mean, main star of Revenge, Emily Van Camp. Van Camp. I don't know how to say her name. It's probably Van Camp. She had a small role in Captain America 2. So everyone's sort of speculating she might go to S.H.I.E.L.D. now. So that's kind of a fun Marvel tie-in there. Wasn't a big fan of her in Cap 2, but maybe she'll be good on the TV show. She's a good actress. And another news story. This is just kind of fun. I just threw this in here because it was kind of, you know, when I can get the chance to talk about Friends, I will do it, and I'll do it forever. We sort of over the years since Friends ended in 2004, people have been sort of saying, "Oh, we could be great with a reunion, an episode, or a movie." This was before reunion TV reunions were a thing, so people were like, "Oh, maybe there'll be a Friends movie, like the X-Files movie." Back in the day. And the actors have been like, yeah, that would be great, but it's probably not going to happen. Never say never, but we don't want to see these characters grow old, blah, blah, blah. And now the creator of Friends, the co-creator, Martha Kaufman, has actually come out and said, look, guys, it's never going to happen. Just get over. Funnily enough, using the exact same phrasing that Joey once used about Rachel and Ross, and we all know how that ended up. I'm such a dork.
Classic Friends reference.
Right. But no, it's, I mean, at this point, I don't know about you guys, I'm so happy that they're not going to do a reunion because there's too many of them now and it's just getting a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched Friends, but it doesn't seem right because the bar is set too high. And how can you live up to those expectations?
Yeah, no, they can't. I mean, they absolutely can't. And Friends is one of those, I mean, I can't believe you've never watched it. Jesus, it's on every channel.
I've seen it in the background.
Ugh. There was only like 5,000 episodes. Jeez, Andrew.
I grew up with that. That show taught me English, guys. Okay, it's very important.
Did it really?
It really did. Yes, I this is like the Reveal Selena episode of the podcast. I used to, when I was like, again, 12 or 13, I used to, because in Denmark, like, they were a few seasons behind, and this was before, like, I couldn't afford to buy the VHSs, and DVDs didn't exist, and streaming didn't exist. This was a long time ago, guys. And I used to, like, read
Selena
Friends
70,
scripts.
So.
Yes, I am. I used to read Friends scripts online, but they only had, like, they didn't have them in Danish translated, so I had to read them in English, and I didn't understand a word of it. I was 12. And I was like, Mom, what does actor mean? Mom, what does movie mean? What does reunion mean? Like, you know, every other word I would ask her what it meant, and then in the end I got tired of asking her, so I just made up what I thought it meant, which is why for a long time my English was really weird, because I thought I understood what words meant when they didn't. So yeah, and then
well, that's adorable.
And I wrote a fanfic, guys. I wrote
I wrote
it was like a script, so it was like a spec script. It wasn't like a fanfic.
Well,
it was called, like, I don't remember, something like the trip and the pickles, because I just learned the word pickles.
You're really into this show.
Anyway, I was very young. I was I lived in the country. I've told you this before. It was that or chopping wood. So yeah, I'm glad it's never going to happen because it was a perfect moment in time and it will be forever remembered. And it's good because, you know, it was all about them sitting around the coffee house and being young, and now they're old and have children and stuff. So it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, no one wants to watch TV shows about old people.
Yeah, jeez.
All right, so we had our Star Wars celebration this week, but before that, it was our Harry Potter, I guess, commiseration on the 2nd of May. It was the 17th anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. Show of hands. Who forgot? Everyone puts their hands up. None of us remembered.
I didn't forget.
I forgot.
What? Yes, you did.
Because J.K. Rowling tweeted, like, the day before, oh, hey, guys, it's coming. Hey,
that does not count.
No, it counts. Because I was like, oh, great, this means J.K. Rowling is going to be tweeting something on Saturday, and that means I have to work on the Saturday.
That's like the equivalent of like an iCal notification. Like, J.K. Rowling would be like, something's happening tomorrow. This is your reminder.
Well, look,
anyway, she did tweet, and her tweet was an apology for Fred. But the best thing about that was everyone automatically replying, what about all the other characters that you killed and ripped their hearts out about? So she says she's thinking she might apologize for one death per year. So Fred was the worst for her, so she started with
him. Does Hedwig next. That was the worst for me.
Yeah, that was tragic. Well,
see, not to get into nerdy schematics here, but I think she's going to apologize for a Battle of Hogwarts death on the anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. Hedwig was not a victim of the Battle of Hogwarts.
Yeah, get it right, I mean, Selena. She doesn't have that many left. Then.
But I read it all on the same day.
Tongs. And who else died at the Battle of Hogwarts? Oh, Colin Creevy.
Yeah,
because she's going to be deleting Twitter because all these people are driving her nuts.
Yeah, all these people are saying you're the worst for not apologizing for this person first.
Well, and also J.K. Rowling gets into these fights with people over politics, and
that's
she actually
so
responds.
Amazing!
To these
I love
She's
that because I do
it.
That too. So I'm so glad that she does it too.
It's okay, but it's I'm telling you, it's going to drive her off Twitter.
Of course.
One day she's just going to be like, "Why do I need this shit?" Yeah. And then she's going to turn it off.
No, she's like, yes. I think she's cool enough that she can be like, you know what? I'm walking away from this now. My personal assistant can like handle this shit for me. Yeah,
I do think you're onto something though, Andrew. Though it's if when you start engaging with that,
it drags you down mentally.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah I did like that she did that. She's great on Twitter and continues to be.
I agree.
Yeah, don't tell her to go off, Andrew, because she obviously listens to the show.
Of course.
Yeah.
But no, I mean Fred's death broke all of our hearts, and we never fully recovered. It kind of was, actually, even though Hedwig
twins.
Was also sad. Yeah, there was no.
Like it's the twin factor. That's what kills you.
It was
that's
nothing,
what killed him.
Nothing. But, this is
Fred
so horrible.
Is dead.
All right. So, but that's the end of the news for this week. We hope that you enjoyed our small discussions on that. If you had any other news stories you thought we should have brought up, then feel free to tweet us on at HypeableHype or go to Hypeable.com and write to us in the comments. And also, please, if you have any news stories from the upcoming week that you think, oh my god, they have to talk about this, then please tell us, because then that'll make us really happy. We've got I don't know what happened there. Okay. We've got TV show of the week next. And surprise! I'm just going to say I watched Game of Thrones again. It's the only thing I watch. Maybe I'll talk about Revenge next week to mix it up. You guys are still watching, right? I feel like I have to check in every week.
I missed
I haven't seen any of this season still.
Lala! Oh my god.
I know. I need to watch it for Natalie Dormer, if no one else. But yes. I've just missed too many. I've missed too many. I need to sit down and, like, catch up. I need a catch-up day.
I know the feeling. And it is kind of, I mean, I've said this before, it is kind of a slower season. So it is so you don't get that rush that you sometimes got. But
I kind
still
of lost
really
it
good.
Last season.
I did too. I actually think you might, I was going to say, like, I really enjoy this because I didn't enjoy last season that much.
Okay, that's
so
good to know.
I think they spend a lot more time with the characters. You know, they spend a lot more time exploring their motivation and things like that. So I think that's really good. I do want to say this episode, I'm not going to spoil anything. I do want to say that not my favorite character, but a character that I really, really loved, both in the books and the show, was killed off very unexpectedly. And I was so sad. Kyla was like, no. Yeah, you have to watch it. I'm not going to say anything, but that made me really sad. I think, like don't the books have enough death? Do we need to add more death? Come on, guys. Honestly.
It's Game of Thrones. Don't get attached to anyone.
I know.
Marima, what have you been watching?
I'm not very good at watching TV, which I think I've mentioned before, but I did tried to watch a couple episodes of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable.
Because, it's great theme song.
It's a miracle.
Like,
let me
preface with that. Yeah, the theme song is fantastic, but it was sort of downhill from there. I only watched the first two episodes, but everyone was raging about this, especially the Hypeable staff seemed really, really into it when it came out. And I just didn't think it was that good. Like, it was underwhelming Kimmy Schmidt, which was a shame. Yeah, I already made that joke on Twitter, so.
I really like it. I watched the whole season. It's just so ridiculous at points and laugh out loud funny. I don't know, maybe it's American humor. But
you know,
I
haven't laughed at it yet. I've watched two episodes and I haven't laughed out loud once, which is not a good sign.
It's not good.
It's funny you say American humor, Andrew, because I thought the same thing. Like, I watched it. I watched it all. I enjoyed it. But I didn't laugh out loud. I think I laughed out loud a couple of times. Sort of startled laugh, like, oh, that was actually really funny, because it's sort of cliche, and like it's not original, I find. Like, people are saying, oh, it's so original, it's so new, and I'm seeing a lot of jokes that I've seen before, so it's kind of like, oh, that's the punchline, because I've seen this joke made before. But it's still good. I think it's different enough, and that's why people are responding to it, you know. It's fresh up to a point, but it's still recognizable enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I didn't dislike it or anything. I was just expecting a lot more, I think, especially because Tina Fey was attached to it, and I loved Tina Fey, and I loved 30 Rock, and I love Parks and Rec, but, like, I didn't have that same level of enjoyment. Mm. But I've only watched two episodes, so I'm going to watch a few more and give another shot.
We should watch more. It's worth watching. If nothing else, it does subvert a couple of expectations, I will say, along the way, which is refreshing.
Very, very specific audience, I think.
Yeah.
Americans.
Yeah, but I feel like it's that kind of weird humor. I feel like that would be a show for me. But anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, you are weird, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, and I don't have any humor, so I get it from other TV shows.
What have you been watching, Andrew?
So I am watching Mad Men. We are in the final 7 episodes right now. I believe we're 4 into it, and this most recent episode that aired this past Sunday was really, really good. Like, lots of interesting things happened, and now
I saw it was very heartbreaking, apparently. I saw some people saying that. No,
yes, and yeah, I could see how it could be heartbreaking. It was a very, very good episode. So now I'm very, very excited for the final 3. When the second half of the season kicked off last month, it wasn't clear where the show was going on purpose, I think. But now it is clear, it is clear what we're working towards. We still don't know what's going to happen, but it's clear that that the characters are on certain paths and they're working towards the finish line. So I'm excited to see how the final 3 episodes play out before it's gone forever.
Only 3 left.
Yeah. I really liked the first couple of seasons. Since then I've just been like, meh. Mm-hmm. I think seasons 4 and 5 were good. The first half of this season, which aired last year, was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's good.
Oh, that's
super good.
Good it finishes off strong. Well, exciting. Yeah. We'll have to hear your thoughts on the finale when that comes out.
For sure.
Ugh. It's Hot on Hypeable time, Unpopular Opinions edition. Yay! Let's piss people off.
Well, it's not our intention, but it seemed to be a collective this week. I'm also the alternative title for this section is there's Unpopular Opinions or it's Ladies on Hypeable Killing It.
And that's
what we're going with.
Isn't it sad that those two things are the same?
Well, whatever.
There's like articles about women every week, guys. What's happening?
Yeah.
That's an actual comment.
I like having these articles on the site because I think they bring unique views and it gives Hypeable a unique voice. So I'm glad you guys are doing them.
Yeah, and I like having them on the site because I agree with them. And that promotes my opinion. Okay, so I think the best one, let's start with the best. Ariana wrote a fantastic article about Avengers Age of Ultron, and she wrote this before she'd seen the films. There's no spoilers in it, and it just applies in general to like all superhero films, but it's about the lack of diversity in the Avengers cast, and particularly the lack of racial diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote a really fantastic article, so definitely go and check that out. The flip side of that is I wrote about the lack of women in the Avengers Age of Ultron, specifically after seeing the film, less popular than Ariana's. Yeah, well. So take from that what you will. Sticking with Avengers Age of Ultron, Natalie, another one of our writers, wrote about things that we wish had been included in that film. So if you've listened to our hype special, this covers some of those same things, but also some different things. She has, you know, serious and funny parts of it. So if you need a sound off about the film, that would be a good place to do that. And then Selena wrote about, kind of tangentially to that, we did talk, I think, a couple weeks ago when this happened, about Jeremy Renner and Chris Evans's comments about Black Widow in that interview they did, which were not the best comments. But Selena, I really liked the kind of tactic you took on this, which was rather than saying about the comments themselves, you were really writing about, you know, their apologies were saying, well, they're fictional characters, so, you know, what does it matter?
Yeah, all credit to Danya for this, by the way, because she's, I was talking to her about that this morning, because I, or like last, yesterday, because I saw his comment, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to write up the same story again, but then, you know, there is a way to approach it for a new angle, so, yeah, it was interesting to write.
And I think a lot of hyperbole readers would appreciate the sentiment, like, regardless of how they feel about this particular thing, because... Mm-hmm. Obviously, we care a lot about fandom, and so we do care about fictional characters, even if they're not technically real. whatever.
They're so real to us, guys.
Yeah, they're real to me. All right. So that's your Age of Ultron content for this week. Seems obligatory Age of Ultron articles at this point, but they will stop soon, I promise. More unpopular opinions. We had... on the TV side, Caitlin wrote a really good article about The Flash and the trope of the overprotective father, which related particularly to the last episode, and I think will tie into the rest of the season. There's only like two episodes left, so if you're a Flash fan, that's a good one to read, but there are spoilers in it. And Laura wrote about Outlander and... about they had a birth scene on Outlander, I think, last week, and she was writing about, you know, whether they did the right thing or not in the way that they portrayed that. So again, interesting if you watch those shows. And then Danielle wrote about why you should give the Casual Vacancy miniseries a chance, because let's be real, no one liked that book, but there is a miniseries. It's on. Has it finished in America? Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, they aired it like two nights in a row.
Yeah, so it's finished. So you can like watch it on HBO online or whatever. And it was on BBC in the UK, I think. So yeah, that's all your unpopular opinions. You can go and rage or whatever you want to do in the comments over there. But definitely something for everyone this week, as always.
Yay. I am going to watch it now that it's on HBO. Go. I'm ready.
Casual Vacancy?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. You can review it and hype.
I want to watch it too. Once I finish Kimmy Schmidt. I'm like Andrew reading books. Like, I'm going to watch that TV show at some point.
And I'm that way with movies. Like, there's a movie that I kind of want to watch, and I get so anxious that I'm not going to like it that I put it off. Like, I still haven't watched Snowpiercer because everyone's like, it's the best movie ever, and I'm, like, so afraid.
I haven't watched that, but I did interview him about it.
So you pretended that you had.
Yeah.
Just to be in Chris Evans' presence.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. We're so professional. Jeez. Trying very hard to be. We're going to finish off with some listener feedback. We already wrote or talked about Melissa's Beauty and the Beast comment, so we're going to go straight to Twitter. Let's take this first. I'll take this first one. Hannah says, because of Hypebubble's hype, our next workbook club is Ready Player One. Can't wait to start reading. Oh, thanks for the recommendation, guys. It's so great that this story is being passed along.
Oh, you'll definitely finish it before Andrew does.
Oh, burn.
That's true.
I'd put money on it.
That's tough.
Yeah, me too.
No one would take that bet.
I'm going to read it tonight. Just kidding. I'm going to sleep as soon as I end this call.
Too late, jeez. And Merriman? Oh, you can do it.
Sure. Phoebe says, catching up to hype and wanted to say I love Talks of Camelot, our Camelot podcast. Can't believe it ended so long ago.
Oh, Pam isn't on the show, but thank you, Phoebe. We loved it, too. It was so fun. It's a stupid little show for a stupid little show in the best way possible. And that was, of course, our Merlin podcast. Final comment, Marima?
And then C. Dawn, this is for you, and I know why you didn't want to read it, because you're going to say it wrong again.
That's what I was hoping for.
FYI, Andrew Sims, I don't know how did you say it last time?
Domnall. Like,
Domhnall Gleeson is pronounced Donal. Hashtag tricky Irish names. Great show.
That's fine, but I've attended things that he's been at, and people have addressed him as Domhnall or something.
Yeah, I'm sure I've heard that as well. That's weird.
But maybe you know what? Think of Rowling.
Maybe he just doesn't correct people, because like, I totally feel that after correcting someone on your name like 20 times, you're just over it. Like, call me whatever
you want.
What
are you talking about, Marama?
Yeah.
Marmara.
I mean, if that was the worst one, it would be fine.
I bet J.J. Abrams pronounces it Domhnall.
I bet just he like does.
Yes. It's because like, he can. And he just doesn't tell him because that awkward thing, we don't want to correct your boss.
Well, it's like Rowling and Rowling, isn't it? We have to learn.
Thank yes. you
for trying
Thank
to
you.
Teach us. Good to know. See Dion.
Yeah.
Donald.
That's you've just made up a new name. You've chosen the third option that is wrong on both counts.
Yes,
so well done.
That's how you don't win at anything. So we've reached the end of the show now. Another week, another exciting week of news on Hypeable. If you want more news and opinions, unpopular or not, you can visit hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Hypeable, and for this podcast at Hypeable Hype. Tweet us your thoughts on this show, on what you want us to talk about next week, if you have any ideas about future hype specials that you want us to do, and any Hypeable staff member guests maybe you think would be a good fit for those. And that's everything. So see you next week. My name is Selena. And I'm alone.
Oh, no.
I'm Andrew.
You've already checked out. You're already sleeping.
And I'm Marama.
Yay.
Or Marama.
Marama.
I'm Domhnall.
Yes. Oh, my name. Our names aren't funny, Andrew. We can't do that. That's sad.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Sounds like how my little sister pronounced it when she was one.
Aw. Okay. I guess that's the end. Because we faded out already.
Bye.